This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. TikTok has cleared another hurdle to stave off a ban in the U.S. President Trump at the White House signing an executive order that would approve the sale of the China-based app to a group of U.S. investors. Congress issuing a ban last year due to national security concerns. Here's ABC's Selena Wang.
The White House says that they've approved this sale to happen, and the president saying that Chinese leader Xi Jinping is good with it, but the White House has said that it still needs to go through paperwork, it needs to go through regulatory reviews, as I mentioned, that algorithm, it needs to be signed off by Beijing for that to be exported or sold off.
After calling for the ouster of the former top prosecutor for the Eastern District of Virginia, President Trump's hand-picked replacement now expected to seek a grand jury indictment against former FBI Director James Comey in testimony to Congress in 2020. Volatile storms in the Northeast today include a confirmed tornado in upstate New York. No major damage reported. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt Mayer on air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Grant County Sheriff's Office has identified Cheyenne Malone, 53, of rural Muscadet, as the decedent involved in the investigation in the town of Muscadet on September 10th. An autopsy was conducted at UW Hospital in Madison on September 12th. No further information is being released at this time, pending additional investigation and results from the autopsy. The Sheriff's Office is still asking anyone with information to contact them at 608-723-2157. Clean water activists are warning against a proposed measure that would allow the U.S. Department of Defense to dispose of PFAS in firefighting foam by incinerating them. The measure is included in the National Defense Authorization Act, currently in the U.S. Senate. Conservationists say burning the PFAS could lead to more contamination issues, particularly in the areas surrounding the incineration sites. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin has co-sponsored an amendment to the bill to remove the measure lifting the moratorium on incinerating PFAS. A pair of Democratic state lawmakers have introduced new legislation seeking to expand equal rights protections in the state. Officials say the Wisconsin Equal Rights Amendment is more comprehensive than its federal counterpart, covering discriminatory practices on the basis of sex, race, religion, marital status, disability, gender identity, and more. Because the proposal is an amendment to the state constitution and not just a bill, it must be approved in two consecutive legislative sessions before being put to voters statewide on a ballot referendum. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
It's the Packers and the Cowboys. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers play the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. Jordan Love says they learned some tough lessons in Cleveland during their loss to the Browns.
Every week is opportunity to learn and grow and experience things as a team. And obviously, you know, I think defense did a great job last week. You know, offensively, special teams, we didn't do enough.
Baseball, the Brewers have tonight off after beating the Padres 3-1 in San Diego. Aaron Ashby awarded the win. Abner Uribe got the save. Pat Murphy.
Jansen gave us, nobody's mentioned Jansen yet. You guys paying attention to the game? Caught the whole game. He caught six different pitchers. A walk, a hit, and a homer. You know, I thought he was great.
Yeah, catcher Danny Jansen out of West High School in Appleton, Wisconsin, on coming back to Milwaukee against the Reds with the magic number down to one.
Yeah, it feels great. Good momentum going home for the final three games. You know, in front of our home crowd, it's going to be amazing.
That's the Brewers' Danny Jansen with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A clear sky tonight, lows in the low 50s. With sunshine for tomorrow, beautiful day, a high near 80. Upper 70s for the high Saturday with sun. Staying dry with more sunshine for Sunday, a high around 80 again. Currently at 75 degrees.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show. Heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Todd Alba.
From the comments of former head coach of Wisconsin, Barry Alvarez, to the Brewers heading into the playoffs, there's a lot going on in Wisconsin sports. We'll discuss it with former Badger and NFL veteran Brady Ewing next time.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who never leaves the house without wearing a cup, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, folks. Happy Thursday, everybody. It is the Christmas Eve of weekdays. You made it this far. I have every confidence you can make it through tomorrow. But we are here. We are almost there, folks. Almost to the weekend. And what a fun show I have for you guys tonight. I'm so glad you're here. Wherever you're joining me from over the state, it is great to have you. As you know, Nightlight is on statewide, so we get opinions from all over the Dairy State, and it is so much fun throughout the show to talk to all of you. So please be part of the show tonight as well. Got two great guests tonight. What should be a pretty fun question, if not uplifting, and some fun things to talk about. So we've got it all tonight, including our... this awesome contest, Conrad. You got to admit. I know you're not a contest guy, but... Oh, God. Now, every time you do that, I have to explain what we did a week ago.
I'm done, I swear. I'm done now.
I'm going to give you details tonight, folks. You're here on a great night, and every night will be like this through October 3rd because it's our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win multi-state contest. And I'm going to give you all the details and the keyword at 7 o'clock, or shortly after 7 o'clock. A lot of easy contest. All you have to do is have the Civic Media app. I'm going to give you the keyword. You text in the keyword on the app, and you are enrolled. You are eligible to win daily prizes of $200 or gold. And I keep saying or. It's and. It's $200 and gold jewelry. And then if you play, you are automatically entered into the... grand finale drawing, the big grand prize. And you know what? I'm going to sit on that one too, Conrad. I'll tell you that after 7 o'clock, although if you're regular listeners, I think you know. But it involves a big-time game between the green and gold and...
the purple people eaters.
It's funny that you remember that, because that was like a nickname, I think was like from the 70s. I don't think I ever have heard that in the last 25, 30 years.
Well, you know... I only know because what you know one of our Civic Media employees or one of our coworkers texted in that one night, and it was Chris Casper.
Oh, it was Casper. Because
he is a Purple People Eaters fan.
He is he goes for the purple and gold, not the green and gold.
Yeah.
But that is the grand prize, and that is a noon kickoff on November 23rd. And we're even giving you gas money to get to the game. So lots of fun, great contest. And more to come on that throughout the show. And the keyword coming up after, after intermission, after the news at 7 o'clock. We'll give you the keyword. And good luck, everybody. It's a fun contest. And not only that, folks, when you get confirmation back after you send in the keyword, if you click on any of the links, you have a heightened chance to win. Sign up for the Civic Media newsletter, Civic Media Today, Facebook. Do we have an Instagram account? I don't. Or I do, but I don't use it.
I have an Instagram account.
No, I know. That's where you look for love. or inheritance.
You caught me. Yeah, that's true.
But if you sign up or follow us on any of those, you have an extra chance to win during this awesome contest. So stay tuned for more details coming up in hour number two. My guest tonight, this is fun. I you know, sometimes a guest just slips through the cracks. We have not had our guest at 6:35 on probably for, what, 9 months or so?
Yeah, it's been a while.
And he is Ben Chan, Jeopardy champ, Green Bay resident, maybe De Pere resident, Ben Chan. He is also a professor at St. Norbert's. He will be here in the studio to make this week's Popcorn Pick of the Week. We'll talk to Ben about how he watches movies, what kind of movies he likes. And I'm sure we'll get into Jeopardy a little bit. And I hope Ben can stick around because coming up in the second hour as well, guest-wise, our pal Norm Kopesky from Appleton Cigar. Norm is going to tell us about a really cool contest that is taking place at Appleton Cigar this weekend. And I don't want to spoil it, but we'll have some cigar talk and we'll talk about this contest and a lot of other stuff you can do if you check out Appleton Cigar. I'm going to ask them about their poker nights. I really am. If I didn't live an hour and a half from Appleton, I would totally go.
You should show them that picture of Kim Kardashian. See what he thinks.
Let's save that picture. That's a good one.
You know, it is also National One Hit Wonder Day.
I know.
And I made a little quiz where you have to guess what that one-hit wonder is.
Should we do that with Ben, though?
Yeah, we could do it with Ben.
I'll tell you what. Give me a couple, and then Ben and I will do it when he's okay. Here, too.
So, I mean, what comes to mind when you think of one-hit wonders?
I mean, a one-hit wonder. Like, you know, Bette Davis Eyes, or we talked about that a little bit last night with some of these bands. I'll tell you a great song. A one-hit wonder is the band, or the song Laid, the band is James. It was a huge hit in the 90s. Stuff like that. That's a one-hit wonder.
You know, we have a, I believe we have a one-hit wonder that we use pretty regularly for the bumpers.
Oh, I think I know what you're going to say.
And it's, you get what you give, right? Yeah, you get what you give.
What is that?
I can play it for a second if you want.
It's not. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a total one-hit wonder. Yeah. I didn't even know the name of that song.
Yeah, it's you get what you give, and it's by the New Radicals.
The New Radicals. Yeah. I did remember the band, because when I sent you that song, I was like, I remembered the band, but I'm like, for the life of me, could not remember the name of the song.
It's such a good song, too.
Oh, it's a great tune. It's like an anthem, almost, for the 90s. Yeah, there's a ton of them. Laura Branigan,
and Gloria. I stick kind of towards the 90s, maybe went out of the 90s for like a couple songs, but mainly 90s and 80s.
Sweet. Well, you know what? Before we get too caught up in the one-hit wonders, let's do our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is the saddest song ever written? Saddest song ever written. That is tonight's question of the night. I don't even know what inspired this, but I'm curious as to what you guys come up with. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know what you think the saddest song is. Sometimes they're great to listen to. Sometimes you just want to be sad. And instead of trying to cheer yourself up fraudulently, you crank on a sad song and you just embrace it and you're sad.
And you belt it to the moon.
And you belt it to the moon. Yeah, absolutely. All by myself. Who hasn't belted that out? And, I did think about this. I can't remember what I said on social media. What was your... God, I can't believe I just asked you.
Yes. All right. Well, do you want me to play the clip right away? Because
you could play your saddest song. Well, let's get that out of the way because it's going to be in people's heads all night.
You know, I'm a regular How I Met Your Mother watcher.
Yes.
And one of the saddest songs I've ever heard is it's called Cat Funeral.
Let's hear 20 seconds tops. 30 seconds tops.
Let me set it up a little bit. Right.
No one could ever follow this.
Marshall Erickson, he's Jason Segel in How I Met Your Mother. And in one of the episodes, he goes through a phase where he likes to make photo montages and sing to the photo montage. And it's just hilarious.
Cat sitting for Lily's mom. Cat sitting for Lily's mom. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna bring us all closer together. Cat funeral. Cat funeral.
cares?
It was an accident.
All right, that's enough.
And not entirely my fault.
That's sad in a funny
way. It's pretty sad.
Really? Did that make you tear up when you were watching a sitcom?
You know, the photo montages, he's cat sitting for the mom, and he leaves the window open in his, you know, in his third story apartment, and the cat jumps out the window.
Yeah, funny, not sad. I don't think you grasp
But then they have the funeral in the apartment, and they have the little cat's casket in front of the window. The cat jumped out of.
Okay. That's quite enough. So I'm gonna go first. My favorite, my saddest song, and I'm probably not gonna be on an island here, is Danny Boy. Terribly sad song, but in a beautiful way. Kind of a father-son song, an Ireland who just had so much tragedy over the years song. It's just great. And I tear up every time I hear it. Almost no matter, even if a bad singer is singing Danny Boy, I will be brought to tears. So that's my saddest song. But I have others. I had a couple runner-ups, too. Cats in the Cradle. Sam Stone from John Prine. Very sad. Sam Stone is so sad. It's just like a soliloquy. I don't even really like. It's not nearly my favorite John Prine song. But it's very sad. About a guy who comes home from Vietnam and gets hooked on smack. Auld Lang Syne is kind of sad, but in a good way. It's just a beautiful song about unrequited or first loves reuniting in a grocery store. Great song. Tears in Heaven. And I went online and looked for this because Tears in Heaven is often called the saddest song ever. If Eric Clapton wasn't such a butt munch, I would probably maybe have put that like number two because it's a very sad song. Do you know that story, Conrad?
I don't.
Eric Clapton, his son, fell out a window in New York City like 30 floors up. Somebody left the window open. You know, Eric Clapton, and I don't want to judge him because accidents can happen. I don't think he was even there. He's probably off touring, but the housekeeper or the nanny left the window open, and the kid died. So Eric Clapton wrote Tears in Heaven, a horribly sad song. But a good song. I mean, Eric Clapton's great. Anyway. Those are my runner-ups, and my favorite is Danny Boy. We've heard from Conrad, the cat, whatever.
Cat Funeral.
So what do you guys think? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know what you think the saddest song ever is. We'll have some fun with this one today. It is National Daughter's Day, so I would like to give a shout-out to my beautiful daughter, Kate. Happy National Daughter's Day. If you have a national daughter, you can wish her a happy day on the text line as well. And this is exciting, Conrad. We have, I don't know if you knew this. This is Kristen Lyerly was on the show the other night.
Correct.
On the social media, the Facebook, I like to call it.
Yeah.
She said, would it be weird? Like, you know what? I got to find out. How did she say this? We'll look it up. Something to the effect that she wants to be the official Nightlight gynecologist. And I think it's high time we had one.
Yeah, I think so, too.
We've been on the air almost 2 years. We've never had an official gynecologist. You and I most likely are never going to need one. However, you never know. I love that she volunteered her services. She's kind of stretched thin anyway. She has her own show on the weekend here called the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. She's on, like, all these gynecological and medical boards. But she wants to be the Nightlight... you know, official Nightlight gynecologist, and I think it's high time we had one. We got a call?
Yes.
It's time to take a call? Let's try
Ollie
to get
from
this
the North
through.
Woods.
Oh, fantastic. Ollie, how are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in. Except I might start crying now with these sad songs.
I know.
My one song that always makes me cry is Hearing Taps.
Oh, wow.
My dad was in the Army for 22 and a half years, so...
Jeez.
That's always a sad song. And then I have another song...
Hey, Ollie, hold that thought. We got to do a really quick break, and I don't want to cut you off, so we're going to do a fast break. We'll come back and get your other song, okay?
Okay.
All right, my friend. We're coming right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Ali phone call part two coming up next.
Mama, I really wanna know you. I really wanna go with you.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Have you thanked a farmer today? Wisconsin's nearly 59,000 farms contribute over $116 billion annually to our state's economy and over 350,000 jobs. Please join the University of Wisconsin as we host our 12th annual Celebrate Agriculture Game on September 20th against Maryland. Sponsored by Cleary Building Corp, Culver's, Case IH, and Compeer Financial. Thank you to our sponsors for making the Celebrate Agriculture Game possible.
The Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Michigan's Supreme Court will hear a challenge against the Line 5 pipeline, the same oil pipeline Canadian oil giant Enbridge is pushing to reroute across northern Wisconsin. Opponents argue the Michigan Public Service Commission broke state laws when it approved the company's plan to drill an oil tunnel under the Straits of Mackinac. A new report from the Alliance for the Great Lakes and Clean Wisconsin shows nitrate pollution is taking a toll in our state. Thousands of families are paying higher costs to access safe drinking water and facing serious health risks because of nitrate pollution from fertilizer and manure. In 2022, farmers likely applied 16 million pounds of excess fertilizer beyond what crops needed. Right now on the Defender podcast, what do data centers mean for our water, land, energy bills, and why is it so hard to find out? An in-depth conversation on the secrets of data centers. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local civic media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free civic media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
Health officials say close to 1,000 people in Wisconsin die by suicide every year. It's Suicide Prevention Month, and if you are struggling, call 988 anytime for support. A message from the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Christmas Eve of weeknights. It is a Thursday edition, folks. We are asking, what is the saddest song you've ever heard? That is tonight's question of the night. I'm going to give you contest information coming up in hour number two. You're not going to want to miss that. It's our multi-state Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. More details coming up after the news at 7 o'clock. And how's that new tower in Milwaukee doing? 100.3. If you're in the Milwaukee area, WAUK, we're on the FM signal there, and it's outstanding, apparently.
That's what I'm hearing.
I heard good things. So I had nothing to do with it. It's all Corey Hartman and Casper and Drew and all the Eric, you know.
You didn't bring your tools out there?
No. I own like a hammer, and that's it. So we're in the middle of a phone call with Ollie from the Northwoods. So let's get back. Ollie said Taps was a very sad song for her. And what else do you say, Ollie?
Other song is an old song. I remember listening to it when I was a kid. And there's, I think it's a newer version that Elvis Presley sang, and it's called Old Shep.
Oh, yeah.
And it's about his dog. And everybody should listen to that.
That is a sad one. Too. Well, I haven't heard that in years. I remember that's a very sad song, though. That's Those are outstanding choices, Ollie. As always, I expect nothing less. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful evening.
You too. Take care.
All right, bye-bye. Thanks. We got great social media responses to the our question of the night, too. Ben Chan, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be here in about 10 minutes. Jeopardy champ, St. Norbert professor Ben Chan will be here in the studio. Very much looking forward to having Ben back on the show. And then Norm Kopeski at 7:35. He is going to bring sticks for all. You know what a stick is, Conrad?
A one of those cigar things.
Damn right. Remember we had Hank and Herschel in here.
Yeah.
I've never heard that term before, so I'm going to ask Norm about that. But Norm will be here at 7:35. Our question of the night, what is the saddest song ever written? Please feel free to share, folks, and we will read your text on the radio if you're listening on the stream or watching the radio on the stream at X, Facebook, or YouTube. You could drop us a stream comment there and give us a like or a follow if you're so inclined. And the best way to text also, I don't know if it's the best way. It's a good way. It's a good option. The app. You got to have the app anyway to play the contest. So on social media, Rich, our pal Rich Tellerico says, Blind Man in the Bleachers. That was like a really cheesy 70s song, but it was about a guy who loses his dad, and his dad was blind and could never see him play sports. It was a very sad song. But I don't know if I heard that now. I might think it's cheesy. I shouldn't say it's cheesy, because when I was a kid, it really affected me. Obviously, Rich, too. Thank you, buddy. Danny Wheels says, Let Down by Radiohead, the song paired with the end scene of The Bear Season 1. Oh, I got to go back and give that another look. Thank you, Dan. I said, Danny boy, Tom Clark, a very funny Tom Clark, Milwaukee native son, says, Tangerine by Led Zeppelin. Great choice, Tom. When was Tom on the show last?
He was on, I believe he was on for a popcorn pick.
Was he?
Yeah.
Let's get Tom back on. Alan Weipert says, Alone Again, Naturally. Yes, great choice, Alan. What else we got? Oh, Vince Moranto. Vince's response last night on the text for the Springsteen song was outstanding. Really did his homework. And he says today, I tear up when I hear Mr. Bojangles, probably because I drinks a bit. Thank you, Vince. Vince, by the way, is making the popcorn pick next week, Conrad. Mark that in your calendars. That'll be fun. Our pal Eric Rathsack, the front man for Ask Your Mother, says he stopped loving her today. George Jones. Yeah, that's a sad one, too. Oh, my pal Matt Hansen. From the Marinette School District, Conrad, we rarely hear from the Marinette School District. Actually, scratch that. He is no longer with the Marinette School District.
Okay.
I think he's with the Linus. He's just a school district kind of guy. Okay. Matt Hansen says, Teddy Bear, Red Sovine. I don't know that song. Matt, great to hear from you, though. Please continue to text on a nightly basis. Happy to read them. Boris Hamilton, our pal on very funny Boris Hamilton, says, Operator, Jim Croce, that's a great choice. But that's not the way it feels. And Wildfire, Michael Martin Murphy. You know, I've heard that song my whole life. I don't even know what Wildfire is about. But The Simpsons made fun of it once. I've never really listened to the lyrics. I will now, though. Thank you, Boris. Tony Zimmerman, Civic Media's own. Leonard Cohen, Famous Blue Raincoat. I don't know. Well, you know what? That's one of those songs I might know. He put a YouTube link. Can you pull that?
Yeah.
It's the least we could do. Thank you, Tony. And then we'll get to the text line here. Ben Chan coming up in just a few minutes. We got to do a thing on Nepo babies. This Steven Spielberg's son, Sawyer Spielberg. Here's the deal. I don't hold anything. Like, acting is acting, music, whatever. You're a Nepo baby, that's fine. But I cannot stand when the Nepo babies say, well, if anything, my last name worked against me. Uh-huh. Sure it did. Just not true. Ridiculous. Although I do applaud people like Nicolas Cage, who his actual last name was Coppola, but he changed it. I admire that. I think people probably still knew who he was. Anyway, we'll get to that. I'm going to do a whole Nepo baby segment, folks. You're not going to want to miss that. Popping over to the stream, Daniel Berry Sports Highlights. Happy Thursday. Hey, everyone. Hey, Daniel, happy Thursday to you as well. Dave on the stream says, Wind Beneath My Wings. That's a sad one. Absolutely. What do you like, Dave, the Bette Midler version or the Lou Rawls version? I like the Lou Rawls version. Dave also says, Brian's song. I know that's a movie. I didn't know that was a song. Sydney Frankenstein says, Frankenstein, I should say. I just did the Young Frankenstein pronunciation. It's Frankenstein. Sydney says, Putting the Dog to Sleep by the Antlers. I don't know that one, but thank you, Sydney. Sydney says, also, we got that one fixed, I think. Sydney says, Have you ever seen The Rain by CCR? Creedence Clearwater Revival, underrated sad song. Yes. Another great one, Sydney. Love CCR. And Dave Kunish verifying. Good one, Sid. That's kind of fun. when the texters talk to each other.
Yeah.
I love that. We're all friends. Hey, when we come back, Jeopardy champ Ben Chan will be here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Don't go anywhere, folks. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to cry, cry, cry alone. When you feel that blue, I'm waiting just for you.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home of the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. City leaders are getting closer to opening Madison's new homeless shelter, but they're also asking for help. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Until the pandemic began, shelter services were not part of the city's purview. Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway.
The system that had served Madison and Dane County for more than 35 years, relying primarily on faith-based organizations and private donations for shelter space, meals, and operations, collapsed in the wake of COVID-19. And while it is not traditionally the job of city government to provide homeless shelters, either here in Madison or around the country, it was the city and Dane County that stepped up to preserve and improve these vital services.
The city and county were involved in a few different projects, including the shelter site on Zier Road and a campground. Now, the next big project is the 24/7 men's shelter. It's on Bartolon Drive and will be able to house 250 people. The mayor announced that the city will be dedicating $1.7 million in the city's budget to the shelter. But here's the thing. It's expected to cost $4 million to run each year. That leaves a $1.3 million gap in annual operational costs.
I'm excited to announce today that a new private group called Shelter Friends will soon launch a campaign to help close the gap needed to make the most of this facility. We need the business community, philanthropists, Dane County, and Madison residents to help us.
Meanwhile, some advocates are concerned about the capacity. Porchlight's Zier Road shelter has housed more than 350 people, while the Bartolon Drive location will only have space for 250. At the start of this year, officials and volunteers did their yearly count. They believe there are about 800 people without housing in Dane County. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There will be some new characters in the second installment of the Wicked feature film franchise. The Wicked 2, more specifically, Wicked for Good trailer, just dropped, and it features Dorothy, the Scarecrow, and Tin Man. Universal says this is the final trailer before the film's release November 21st of this year. Wicked for Good is a follow-up to 2024's Oscar-nominated Wicked. If you're looking for a new sports documentary, you're in luck. Clemente is the story of one of the best baseball players ever whose career and life ended way too soon. It is now available for streaming on the History Channel and explores baseball great Roberto Clemente's life on and off the field from his early struggles to becoming one of the best players in the game, as well as one of the most beloved. Clemente died in a plane crash in 1972 while delivering aid to Nicaragua. The film is executive produced by basketball great LeBron James and film directing great Richard Linklater. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A clear sky tonight, lows in the low 50s. With sunshine for tomorrow, beautiful day, a high near 80. Upper 70s for the high Saturday with sun. Staying dry with more sunshine for Sunday, a high around 80 again. Currently at 75 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Why throw your hat in the ring to become governor, especially in times like this?
Folks are tired of politicians who focus on culturals and partisan issues versus delivering real results is going to change lives. And that's what we've done in Milwaukee County. And so my calling is being able to be there for people at my best when people are dealing with their worst times. And as elected officials, as community leaders, that's what we should be focused on.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
no one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Fresh off her announcement that she's running for governor, we have State Representative Francesca Hong. Hear what she has to say.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. It's time for the Nightlight Popcorn Pick of the Week, where we recommend a movie that you'll either enjoy or won't. Here's your host, Pete Schwabba.
How do you like those options? You'll either like it or you won't. Welcome back to Nightlight. This is exciting, folks. I'm very thrilled to welcome my next guest here to make the Popcorn Pick of the Week. When it comes to appearing on Jeopardy and also being a professor at Lawrence University, this guy is top-notch and an absolute rock star, Mr. Ben Chan. Welcome back, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me, Pete. It's always nice to be here. I think I was banging on the window about a year ago, and I was like, oh, wait.
Were you doing a bar crawl or something?
Yeah. You're in here, and it's like, God, I'm on the air right now, dude.
That's right. I forgot about that. So you, well, we'll talk about the Jeopardy stuff. We'll talk about your new position at Lawrence. That's exciting. But how are you in general? How are you doing in this thing called life? Things good?
Yeah, things are really good. It's a transition. It's been kind of a transition. After my last Jeopardy appearance, I'm kind of out of the immediate central Jeopardy pool.
Okay.
And also my job was transitioning at the same time this past, 6 months. But it, life is all about transitions.
Absolutely.
I think, right?
I'm not even smart enough to know what the central pool of Jeopardy is. So we'll talk about that too.
It's too complicated.
After we do the popcorn pick. So let's jump in. Let's talk movies. Ben Chan, you're obviously an incredibly bright guy. Jeopardy or not, you're a college professor. You're well schooled. You've impressed us on a national level on a game show. What kind of movies do you like?
I like a lot of movies. I think Roger Ebert had a really good attitude about this, right? That he would review movies on their own terms, right?
So,
there are a lot of genres that he probably wasn't a fan of, but if he would try to judge whether the director accomplished what they were trying to accomplish, right?
Interesting, yeah.
And so I think I'm the same way. There are genres I enjoy more, genres I enjoy less, but I like to have a wide exposure to things.
Okay.
But the things I really love, there are movies that can really change your perspective, right? And in ways that not many art forms can do. I think of the popular recent movies, I think Parasite was like that. Right? Parasite's given like a framework for millions, like changed people's framework of thinking about power and income, right? And it's a very powerful kind of metaphor and very powerful narrative structure that has like global implications in terms of how people cope with life.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah. And it did well at the Oscars too. Right. I mean, it was very well recognized. That's a great answer. And I expect nothing less than a well thought out answer from someone like you, Ben. So do you prefer to go? So basically you don't stick to typically one genre you like, and I'm the same way. I'm not really a horror guy. That doesn't mean I don't really enjoy an occasional really well done horror movie at times, if that makes sense.
Yeah, my wife is really into horror and she's gotten me into it, which I'm glad for, because I think I wouldn't. There's so many choices, right? So it's hard to take that step on your own if it's something you aren't drawn to naturally. But it's opened my eyes to things, right? Because horror, I think, is deeply kind of Freudian generally, right?
And
kind of is a working out of our, personal or cultural deep fears in a way that often we don't get to raise in a polite conversation. Or
right. Do you have, did you see Weapons?
Oh, yeah, I did see Weapons. I think that's the last thing I saw in the theater.
Yeah, that same here. I enjoyed it. Again, not a horror guy, but really solid movie. I really liked it. All right, so how do you like to watch movies, Ben? Are you a theater goer? Do you like the comfort of your own home?
I would prefer the theater, but, probably the ratio is 9-1 home to theater.
Yeah.
And I think I went to grad school at UCLA in Los Angeles, and sometimes people ask me, like, oh, do you miss things about Los Angeles? And there are a couple of things I miss, but the number one thing that comes to mind is that they still have a lot of beautiful single screen theaters.
Yeah.
And they do, you know, nice restored prints. And because it's a film town, you'll go to like a Saturday revival of Meet Me in St. Louis and the theater will be full at 10 a.m. And you might be sitting next to like Jason Segel and, you know, a bunch of film editors. And they're super, you know, they're great audiences. They're super appreciative. And then sometimes you might get, you know, somebody who did the casting for a 1960 show be in the audience and do Q&A after.
Right.
That's really.
I'm totally special. With you. One of my best experiences, or when my wife and kids would leaving back to the Midwest and I was out there alone, I would take full advantage in terms of going to movies. Like, and I remember specifically, I saw Mission Impossible 3. I think it was 9 a.m. at a Hollywood theater. I get coffee. I saw Collateral in the morning. I saw South Park with my buddy Mike Siegel. Yeah, you can see anything almost any time of day, and that is something I do
in
miss
full
about
theater
LA.
Too. Right?
In the full theater, right?
And that's it's nice to watch with other people.
Absolutely. All right. So, what is your favorite snack? Let's say you're in the theater. What kind of snacks do you go for?
Ooh, I like everything. You know. Usually money is the impediment. It's like these prices.
Oh, it's insane.
But that's a good question. I mean, I guess the first thing that pops to mind is, you know, pretzel bites. Pretzel bites with some nacho
cheese. Oh, man. I wish I didn't like that.
Right?
It's so bad. And nachos, too. Like, that cheese is what it is. If they would just, like, sprinkle shredded cheese on there and heat it up, it'd be different. Good, but right? I don't know what the hell I'm eating when I'm eating nacho cheese. But it does taste good.
I wish that if they had more, you know, I'm a big caramel corn fan, right?
So yeah.
I'm kind of surprised that more theaters don't have that. Actually, that's one of the things the Arclight Theater in L.A. was famous for. They had, like, fresh-made caramel corn.
I love that you know these LA theaters. That's where I saw Collateral, was at the Arclight. I don't think it's open anymore. Or was it the Cinerama Dome?
I think Cinerama.
Yeah. That's a great. All right. So you're not fussy when it comes to snacks. What about at home? Do you watch it? Do you make different snacks when you're at home?
We used to make popcorn. One of the things, if any listeners have tips on dealing with dogs, two dogs in the house who are resource guarding and getting into arguments about that. So we can't have snacks on the couch anymore because they might have a disagreement about who gets to be closer to human snacks. But at home, that's been one of the things I talked about. I've been attending to a lot of deferred maintenance. Some of it is home projects. Some of it is my body. I think I put on 20 pounds.
Living that celebrity lifestyle.
During my Jeopardy life. And so I've been trying to avoid the movie snacks at home, at least.
Oh, God, do it other ways, Ben. have a movie snack. But if you do figure it out, let me know. I could drop a few pounds.
I'd say the go-to snack right now, if you go to one of the Asian markets in town, they have these things called jackfruit chips. Jackfruit's a tropical fruit, and it's like a pretty healthy thing. But it's delicious. It's like a sweet tropical fruit. And there are only like three ingredients. Jackfruit,
I didn't know they came
salt.
In chip variety.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Interesting.
Yeah, you should look for jackfruit chips.
Oh, that's really cool. Okay. What about, all right, let's talk about this. I know you like to enjoy a cocktail every once in a while. What do you have? Have you ever snuck booze into a theater? Or what do you make when you're at home?
I probably have snuck booze into a theater when I was younger. It's been a big development that now Marcus Theaters sells booze, which is nice. So I can, and it's actually, that's the most reasonably priced item at the concession stand.
Is booze.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. It's under $10 for like a tall boy or whatnot.
So if you want a box of Goobers, it's $12. Yeah, if you want a drink, it's $9. Yeah, that's pretty, okay.
I'd like to. Greg Marcus seems cool. I want to meet Greg Marcus. That's on my bucket
list.
Don't
you run in those circles now? He's a celebrity.
I got to put it out there.
Let's use this as a platform. Conrad, take a memo. We got to get Ben in touch with Greg Marcus.
Doesn't he seem like he seems like a real nice guy.
Seems like a swell guy. Yeah, absolutely.
I've seen his Instagram. He's doing Instagrams with, you know, his employees. And it seems not forced.
Seems genuine. Yeah all right. All right, so what about at home? What do you make? Do you have a favorite cocktail or something?
It kind of changes. I think the first thing that pops to mind, a martini.
Yeah.
Nice gin, classic gin martini.
You go gin, not the vodka, huh?
Yeah, I like, you know, okay. I like that. A lot of people I know don't like the, you know, the, what is that, juniper?
The gin, vermouth? Right? Or, oh, okay.
And, but I like it.
Yeah?
I like both things, the vermouth and the gin.
You're saying that defensively, and I don't mean to make you defensive about your cocktail of choice. Ben Shannon's here, folks. He is a Jeopardy champ and also a professor at Lawrence University. He's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Norm Kopesky is coming by at 7:35 for some cigar talk and a talk about a really cool contest they're having at Appleton Cigar this weekend. And stick around, because after the news in hour number two, I'm going to give you the keyword for our Civic Media Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, our multi-state Text to Win contest. Keyword coming up after the news in hour number two. But for now, we are inching eerily close to Jeopardy champ Ben Chan's popcorn pick of the week. So how do you feel about previews when you're in the theater? You like them?
Oh,
this is such a divider.
No, they're just, I guess I could go, there are two, the problem, the main complaint is many of the previews are bad now.
Yeah.
Like trailers are, they give away too much.
I totally agree.
Like the art of the, what?
And that's an art too, cutting a good trailer without giving too much away. It's an art form. Absolutely. Yeah.
So the trailers, there's some good trailers, but most of the trailers are just trash. Yeah. Right. Who's making that's it's very surprising that trailers are so bad.
All right, one more question for you, Ben. People are being loud nearby. You and your wife are there trying to enjoy yourselves. What do you do? Do you confront them? Do you shush them? Do you give them the stare? Do you get security? What's the deal?
We probably go at times where it's not that busy anymore. We typically go like Saturday afternoons, and so maybe the main thing would be the only loud people we run into are, you know, 7-year-olds.
What kind of movies you go? Does your wife ever get out of line? Do you ever have to shush your wife in a movie?
No, I mean, I think that the main tension is at home, right? Where sometimes we'll be watching a movie and then she'll look at her phone and be like, I thought we were watching a movie together.
Oh, that drives me bananas.
And then I, you know.
But the worst thing is when someone looks at their phone, my kids used to do this. Wait, what did he say? I'm not telling you. Sorry, put the phone down.
She doesn't do that.
All right, that's good. All right, Conrad, I think we are ready for Mr. Ben Chan's popcorn pick of the week. Conrad, if you please. All right, Ben, the kidding around is pretty much over. What is the popcorn pick of the week?
It's tough. Can I give two?
Yeah.
All right. So there are two. They're streaming. They're both classic movies. Oh, they can be streaming, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Any movie. There are no rules.
So one that came to mind recently, actually, this is something I saw. It's an old movie, The Red Shoes. I think it's 1948.
Oh, wow. I've never seen that.
It's a ballet. Oh, Red Shoes. Yeah. That's one of the great, I don't know, it's top 50 movies of all time.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
I mean,
the reason
it
came back to my attention, Ken Jennings, it was one of his 5 picks. But it's one of my favorite movies. I saw it a few times, but one time I saw it at a special screening at the Smithsonian in D.C. And the editor, who was married to one of Powell and Pressburger, I forget which one, and I forget her name, she's Martin Scorsese's editor. So she's won a couple of Oscars. But she was in attendance. She gave a little talk before the screening, and she said, Powell and Pressburger, they're coming out of World War II, and they had been told that there's so many things worth dying for, democracy, Great Britain, whatever.
Wow.
And they wanted to make a film that showed that art was worth dying for.
That is so cool.
So yeah, The Red Shoes, I think it's on HBO
Max.
Shoes
on HBO Max.
Maybe I'll stick with that one.
And it's got a 98%. So we're going to do a really quick break, then we're going to come back and get pick number two. You're getting two picks. This happen a couple weeks ago? Somebody gave two picks? That's even better. You get more referrals.
Definitely.
So, okay, Ben Chan is here, folks. Jeopardy champ. We are coming right back to get his second popcorn pick of the week. We'll talk about Jeopardy. We'll talk about one-hit wonders or sad songs, right? We'll do sad songs.
I have a pick for that,
All right, sweet. It's Peach Bob and Nightlight. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's a
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall. This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall. This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Are unauthorized immigrants eligible for federal Medicaid coverage? No. Unauthorized immigrants are not eligible for traditional federally funded Medicaid health insurance and never have been. A 1996 law also requires most authorized immigrants to wait 5 years for eligibility. 14 states, not including Wisconsin, use state funds to cover unauthorized immigrants. President Trump has proposed cutting federal Medicaid funds to those states, which could drop 1.4 million people from health care coverage. In Wisconsin, Medicaid covers 1.28 million people at a cost of $12.1 billion. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on this beautiful Thursday night. Here we're coming to you live from downtown Green Bay, broadcasting statewide on a popcorn pick Thursday night. Folks, in just a few minutes after the news at the top of the hour, we're going to dig into the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, our multi-state Text to Win contest here at Civic Media. Great prizes. I'm going to give you more details after the news, and then I'll give you the keyword as well. So make sure you don't go anywhere. Right now, my guest in studio here is celebrity champ Ben Chan. And I'm not just saying celebrity champ. You're like, aren't you like the third highest grossing person ever on Jeopardy or something like that?
No. Like in the regular, when I left, I was the 16th highest in the regular season. But that's pretty good.
It's really good because Conrad went on that show about 10 years ago. And how'd you do, buddy?
Yeah, I was 16.
16th from the bottom, right above me. All right, Ben is here. He just made the popcorn pick of the week. He's got two of them. We heard his first choice was the Red Shoes from 1948. I'm putting that one on my list. And then you had another one. Ben, tell us what your other popcorn pick of the week is.
This has shaped. I'm a big foodie, actually, despite maybe. That's my number one passion.
You're a medium-sized foodie. I wouldn't call yourself you're ripping on your health earlier. I don't think that was warranted.
So one of these movies that really kind of shaped my culinary sensibility, I think it's the best food movie. There are a lot of good food movies, but it's a Japanese movie. It's also an HBO Max. It's called Tampopo, T-A-M-P-O-P-O. It's from the 80s. It is, the genre is a Western. It's a ramen Western. So it has like the trappings of a Western.
As opposed to a spaghetti. Where,
yeah. So somebody, exactly. It's quite funny.
Oh, wow.
And the main, it's kind of Altman-esque in that it has many different interlocking threads and vignettes. But the main plot line is a young mother, single mother, who's trying to open a ramen shop, and her son is being bullied. She's not very good at making ramen, and then a trucker happens to roll into town.
Wow.
Who's a ramen expert and helps both her and her son get you know, her son at school and her with the ramen shop.
I know some stuff about movies, but mostly I'm just a fan. And you just named two films that I have not seen that I can add to my list. I appreciate that. So
you're welcome.
Great choices. Ben Chan, his choices are Red Shoes and Tampopo.
I guess it means dandelion in Japanese.
Tampa police officers. Tampopo. Okay.
Tampopo.
Yeah. Ben, it is great to have you here. Let's talk. So what is the latest? I know you made a return appearance on Jeopardy. For those that don't know, a couple years ago, Ben had like an incredible run. And here's what I love about your Jeopardy run. It was packed with drama. Because you went, I was reading about this, you went up, then you lost big, then you came back and cleaned house, so you had that drama.
Oh, right.
Then you forgot, about your Jeopardy greatness. And then you couldn't play because of COVID, and you had to get back in the game, and you went on a run again. It's like, you've had a really cool run.
Yeah, it was very eventful, yeah. It's more eventful than most runs on Jeopardy.
So, all right. So, well, yeah, obviously, if you're like 16, that's incredible. So what do you have a favorite memory coming out of that whole experience? You've had time to reflect on it now.
There are so many. Actually, it's filled with good memories. I think, you know, it's hard to beat the first win.
Yeah, I bet.
Right? Because that opens up everything. I mean, I think that's the you know, I don't know if that was my biggest fear, because I knew I was pretty well prepared. I knew I could, you know, make some noise, but that it's hard to get the first one because you're playing against somebody who's already played. They're probably pretty good.
Interesting.
In the subsequent games, you have an advantage because you're not playing against somebody who's played before, and they're also random.
Yeah.
Whereas in your first game, you're guaranteed to play a non-random person, namely somebody who's won.
Right. Wow, that's interesting. And then I would imagine your first time, too, is when your nerves are at peak, or is it when you get close to setting some kind of milestone? Like, how did you deal with that?
Definitely the first time. And then after that, you know, the thing about it's like, you know, if you've been in show business or whatever, it's a well-oiled machine, right? So it's like, I've got 10 minutes till the next show, and so you don't have time to think about what's happening.
You have to have, and I'm just saying this, I'm guesstimating, but or making a presumption, but you have to, A, be really smart, but B, be able to answer these questions quickly on the spot on national TV. So for people that can do that, you maybe played people that were smarter than you, but they couldn't handle the pressure of thinking quickly on TV, maybe?
Yeah, I had the advantage of I played fake practice games with people. So you get into that rhythm. You know, I think, you know, good people, it's hard to do that if you're not in the groove, right? It's like, you know, ring rust or whatever, right? Like you have to be in that mindset and have that right threshold for guessing or buzzing in when you're not sure you know it, because you are confident enough that it'll come in time. And then if you're not in that groove, you're going to be either too hesitant or too aggressive.
Yeah. That's so cool. Can we keep you past the news? Can you do another segment of this? We'll do a little, Conrad put together a one-hit wonder sort of thing. We could square off. I know, you know.
Oh, no.
I would love to find, that's your weakest
That's my weakest. Music, pop music.
Bring it. All right. Ben, we found a chink in the armor. Ben just admitted his weakness on the air. So, folks, we're going to come back. He's going to do another segment with us. I'm going to give you all the info on the Civic Media Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, our multi-state contest. That is coming up next. And we've got Norm Kopeski here at 7:35 talking cigars and a really cool contest at Appleton Cigar. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight. We're coming back for Act 2 after this. 7:07 and you lose yourself in the sky.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Dave Packer. Former FBI Director James Comey indicted by a grand jury. Right to ABC's Catherine Falders with the latest.
Three counts were sought here by the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, Lindsey Halligan, and we're told by sources that the grand jury indicted on two of those three counts that she was seeking. One of those counts is false statements, presumably to Congress, given that this is what this investigation centered on. The second was an obstruction charge. That's all we know right now.
This comes just days after President Trump publicly demanded that his Justice Department bring charges against Comey and other political opponents. When the previous U.S. attorney in Eastern Virginia, Eric Siebert, declined, Trump ousted him and replaced him with Halligan, his former personal attorney. She brought the charges. On his social media, President Trump calling today's indictment of Comey, quote, justice in America.